This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day, and thank you for making your way over here. Try to make it worth your while. Hit me up social media at Dan Day Radio, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whole nine yards. I have got you covered. Gonna get you going, get you rocking, get you rolling. It is a star-filled day. First things first, Joe Rowe Show. Gonna be talking to the Hawk. Andre Dawson, he's in the Hall of Fame. No one else is going in anytime soon, so might as well hear from him. Then another Hall of Famer, Coach Nick Saban. Maybe not so much with the Dolphins. He is going to be talking with Greeny. Then Hawk and Crowder. Craziness. Some gambling bliss and Devontae Smith playing big. Right now, let's go big on the headlines. The Heat kick off a six-game homestand tonight when they play the Nuggets. Jimmy Butler is out while Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic, and Avery Bradley are questionable. Tip is at 7:30. Patrick Hornquist, he scored a goal with 3 seconds left in regulation to tie the game last night, then made the winning goal in a shootout as the Panthers down Columbus 4-3. This is Florida's first ever 3-0 start to a season. The Canes men's basketball team are back in action tonight at 6 against Florida State. Tua Tagovailoa and top receiving prospect Devontae Smith have talked about and liked the idea of both playing in Miami. Tagovailoa and Smith played together collegiately at Alabama. No players were voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. This is the first time since years and years that this has happened. Inter Miami has signed teenage prospects Edison Ascona and Ian Frey. Both are homegrown players from Inter's developmental academy. It has been announced that the Canes football team will face Notre Dame 7 times between 2024 and 2037. And now, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. SleepJunkie.com is offering $3,000 for a sleep beauty to test mattresses. Paid to sleep? If you can couple that with a beer tasting job, then you really got something. Someone in New York recently returned a library book that was 72 years overdue. I don't know what's more impressive, that the person lived past 72 or that in their advanced stage of life, remember to return the book. A flight attendant released a video sharing hidden places on planes that most people don't know about. Making it into the Mile High Club has never been easier. A 97-year-old Holocaust survivor who recently recovered from COVID-19, when asked what was her secret, says, "You can choose life or darkness. I choose life." Keeping it simple. Always fun and not always simple with Joe Rose in the morning. I've been here in the mornings lately. When he's not on the radio, he's running around singing, rapping, talking, but he's always having fun. And that's what he brings to you every single morning from 6 to 10 here on 560 The Joe. Extra fun because he is talking to legendary Hall of Fame baseball player Andre Dawson about everything that goes on with the Hall of Fame. He's got some great Pete Rose anecdotes and a whole lot more.
Dawson corks it to center. How far did you hit that one, Andre? Look out wherever you are. have a home run. It's 3-2. That ball went more than 450 feet, I would guess, Tim.
Well, all you have to do is watch the reaction of Ken Griffey Jr. I tell you, Roger the Rocket Clemens was aptly named after that pitch. What a rocket.
All right, Joe, we got a special guest on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Baseball Hall of Famer, I believe 2010, Andre Dawson, going to join us here. Plus, Miami native, we should throw that in there first. Andre, good morning. Thanks for the time. Always appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Andre, great having you, buddy. Thank you. It always seems like, I know, you can say it, we always have you around the Hall of Fame, man. I know it's a terrible habit, and but we can't help ourselves. Hey, wanted to get your thoughts on nobody getting in yesterday. Were you surprised? Did you think Schilling, Bonds, or Clemens might get in yesterday?
Well, I did think that there was a chance that Schilling might get in based on is 70% of the vote the previous year. Bonds and Clemens, I still feel that, you know, it's not going to happen for them. But, you know, when you think about nobody getting in, that's a rare occasion when it comes to the Hall of Fame selection. But I do feel that, you know, perhaps Clemens, Bonds, again, it's going to be a no-brainer for the most part. Most of the steroid guys that are coming up, it's going to be real tough for them to get in. And I do feel that now Schilling has probably hurt his cause. I heard kind of out of the blue that he requested to be removed from the ballot next year. I think that's a huge, huge mistake.
Right.
Considering, you know, some of his comments post-career. But, you know, we'll have to sit back, wait and see what happens. But no, to my surprise, with no one getting in, but I did feel that Schilling did have an outside shot based on what he accomplished with the voting last year.
Andre, we have David Ortiz and A-Rod coming up next, two guys that have also been accused. Well, they have used PEDs. Where do we go with all these guys? At some point, all these guys that put up all these monster numbers, will times change? Will the new writers get in? Do you expect these guys to get in? What do you think happens with this group?
Well, the group is kind of across the board when it comes to the steroid topic. A-Rod is, he admitted, and he tested positive.
Right.
So he, chances are he won't get in. There's just speculation with Ortiz. Ramirez won't get in. So, you know, the writers, even though they've softened to a degree, I just think, in all honesty, there are maybe perhaps some guys that are steroid users, or were steroid users, who are already in the Hall of Fame. But in order to protect the integrity of what the Hall represents, at some point you have to really address how do we handle this issue with known individuals.
Yeah.
That is to make sure that, you know, they don't get in, and I think that's the direction that we'll see.
I guess the other part of this, Andre, is how all you guys feel about it, all the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, that have been in the Hall of Fame. How is it, kind of a divided group, or do you think most of those guys don't want the PED guys in?
Well, there have been numerous private discussions among the living Hall of Famers, and it's, you know, been both privately and publicly, and they do not condone the players that were the known users, and they've gone so far as to say that they won't support that particular stage in the event that there's an induction. So we, I think, as a collective group, have really taken a stance with this. And like I say, we just, you know, going to see what happens in the future. And then at that point, I think we'll address it further.
Andre, we've had a lot of discussion this morning about this topic, obviously, about guys not getting in. And you know his name keeps popping up also for another reason, is Pete Rose, of not being in the Hall of Fame because of the gambling stuff. Do you think is there a better chance of Pete Rose getting in before some of these steroid era guys? Like, will we ever be a day where Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame?
It's a very, very tough question to answer because of the unknown fact of what evidence has been garnished with Pete Rose. I do feel, you know, because the hall is it's a museum of the collective history of a player's career. That's what it is. And it's mainly based on numbers, even though there's a lot of parameters, a lot of intangibles that require you to become a Hall of Fame or to be Hall of Fame worthy. So I've always felt that Pete Rose was a Hall of Famer. Again, I don't know what evidence there is against Pete Rose, but based on his accomplishments during the course of his career, there's still an intangible that comes with what he was accused of, and that's gambling. So that's kept him out of the Hall of Fame, and if he does present down the road the opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame, I think he would have more of a better case to get in as opposed to guys that, you know, played the game for selfish reasons, that have obscured the numbers of the game itself, and who did it basically for selfish reasons.
Yeah. Hey, Andre, got to ask you, we just lost Hammer and Hank, one of the great players of all time, Hank Aaron. Last time we had John, I was telling everybody, we were talking this morning about your relationship being in part of that special club, that Hall of Fame, around Hank Aaron, and everybody just admired the guy, what he had gone through growing up as a baseball player, where it started and going through as he got the record. You got any great memories of any stories with Hank? I know you spent some time with him.
I spent a little bit of time with Hank. It's funny, he was one of those individuals when, you know, he came into the room, everything got quiet.
Right.
And you could see guys getting, you know, giddy, and they didn't really know what to say. And Hank was... he was sort of a gentle giant. To me, he was really bigger than life. You know, he's an individual that I aspired and looked up to and was a hero of mine growing up. And, you know, as much as you like to think that he had a hand in setting the model to follow going forward, he was just, you know, a Hall of Fame human being. And I can recall going to the Hall of Fame for my induction, and I usually, the inductee gets there a day or two before all of the other guys get in, and when I checked into the Otisaga, I went out on the balcony to have lunch with my wife and my two kids, and who was sitting there, Hank and his wife, Billy.
Wow.
And I asked my son, I said, "Do you know who that is?" And he said, "No, Dad." And I said, "Come on, I'm going to get up and go introduce him to you."
Wow.
And introduce you to him. And I walked over and I said, "Hank, hi, this is my son, Darius. He wanted to meet you." And Hank shook his hand, smiled, and he said, "Are you going to be like your father?" And my son didn't know what to say. And he said, I don't know. I hope so. And from that instance, I could see, you know, how his face lit up because I had talked to him about Hank Aaron and how he was a hero of mine growing up. And at that point, Hank just said, "You know, if you know you, it's only the four of you, you're more than welcome to come over and join us at our table." And that, you know, that's who he was.
Wow.
He was so quiet, soft spoken, to the point that you just didn't know what to say to him once you, you know, was in his presence. And wow, you're talking about a huge loss. You got to put him up there with the cultural icons of any sport. I'm talking about, you know, guys that played at the upper echelon of athletes in any sport. And that's, you know, how I look at Hank Aaron.
Yeah, man, that's great. Andre, last time we had John, I still remember you talked about doing a really good job through the years of making sure you're able to get some stuff from some of the greats. Please tell me you have some Willie Mays or Hank Aaron stuff that you're able to get signed. I know it's kind of awkward when great player asks another great player for something. Did you do it? Did you get either one of those guys to sign something?
I don't have any game used equipment. I do have, you know, autographed baseballs. I did this, though. I went the route of having their paintings on jerseys of theirs, and I had them to autograph the jerseys.
Wow.
So I do have autographed jerseys of both of those players.
You know, I was shocked, Andre. Did you see Willie Mays and Hank Aaron played like in 23 All-Star games together? I was like, what? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, unfathomable. I mean, Hank pretty much making the All-Star team every year he played. And that's incredible.
That's like...
And I look at some of the numbers that are thrown around, and it's crazy. You know, first of all, to be able to play that long, injury-free, and to go out and be a model of consistency.
Right.
You know, you shake your head, and that's why you're talking about the greatest run producer ever to play the game. You know, this guy, he was just mega.
Hey, Andre, we could have put him just, if you wanted to make everything fair, we could have put Willie and Hank on that Montreal cement you played on for years.
Wow.
I shouldn't be laughing, man. I wouldn't wish that on my ex-wife being up there on that stuff, man. That stuff is tough, man.
I wouldn't do that either.
Hey, if you're in today's game, like, listen, man, I ain't playing on this stuff. I've been here 2 years. You see how good I am. Get me out of here, man. Oh, Andre, you're too much, man. That's great stuff. Andre, thank you, man. We really appreciate you spending some time. Hey, did your reality show take off? Did you get that reality thing going or not? I saw they might be doing something.
Well, they were writing it, and it's not really me. It's based on the character. The character is based on a simulation of, you know, I guess an athlete
yeah.
that reached Hall of Fame worthy, and then he takes over a funeral home. Well, it's in the final stages of writing. I think. Well, there's a contract that has been set out, and a public relations guy has it as another guy in the industry that's reviewing it, and we'll get back to CBS and move forward with it. So I'm just, you know, I'm grateful that they went this direction. It wasn't something I would have ever reached out to anyone in regards to. But remember now, it's a fictional drama, so you never know what direction they're going to go with these things. And that's the scary part about it.
They might have Andre Dawson as some wild guy. I'm going, that's not Andre Dawson. What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right. So I, you know, if it does take off, I'll be watching this with sweaty palms and a lot of nervousness because, again, you don't know what direction they go with this kind of thing.
Andre, it's great talking to you, man. It's been a while. Really appreciate it. You stay safe, my friend. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Thank you, guys, man. Listen, call me sometime. Maybe we can have some lunch and talk about old times.
I would love that, man. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a hold of you to set that up, and I'm going to pick the tab up. I've been stealing money for years, Andre.
Whoa,
I'll take it.
Whoa.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you very much. All right, man.
Take care. Stay safe, guys.
All right.
That's the Hawk. Makes his home in South Florida. And he was heard right here with Joe Rose, who makes his home on this radio station weekdays from 6 to 10. A guy that used to make his home in South Florida, Nick Saban, he's next with Greeny. Oh, yeah. This is 560 The Joe Radio Rewind.
Hot, strung, young, and dumb, yeah, we had no fear. Way back when we said we'd both be millionaires.
Welcome back to 560 The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? I'm Dan Day, and oh man, I did graduate from LSU when Nick Saban was winning a national championship at LSU. That was my senior year. I didn't know Nick Saban was going to go on to be a nightmare for on my university and a nightmare for my team, the Dolphins. But no, nonetheless, it's okay. Hey, he's had success, and he's interesting enough, I guess, kind of scowling the whole way through. He hooks up with Greeny. Of course, Greeny always great right here on 560 The Joe from 10 to noon weekdays, talking national championships, talking players, talking about rolling with the punches, and just being Nick Saban.
It is my pleasure, as always, to welcome back on the Goodyear Hotline for the first time in the few weeks it has been since he won his 7th national championship, his 6th as the coach of Alabama. Nick Saban is back with me on ESPN Radio. Congratulations, Coach.
Greeny, how you doing, man? You doing good?
I am doing fine, not as well as you, as you got, you know, as everything that came together. And, you know, we talked a little bit along the way. And, you know, I guess I'd like to start with this. It's your 7th national championship, culminating a season that was unlike anything that any of us have ever witnessed, and certainly anything you've ever been through. So how do you think you'll remember this one differently than all the rest?
Well, I think this was a great team, and I think all the challenges of this season, all the disruptions that we had, you know, was a challenge for every player to, you know, be able to stay focused, buy in, do the things that they needed to do, not be affected by any circumstances and situations that changed, whether a game got changed, postponed, whether we couldn't have spring practice, whether we couldn't do summer conditioning like we normally do, whether we had players missing for certain games. I mean, this was a season where, you know, I told the players in the beginning, whoever handles the disruptions of this season the best will end up the best in the end. And they certainly did that. They took it to heart. It was a challenge. And actually, I think a lot of the disruptions actually made our team closer.
And so the reputation that you have is as one who never stops and smells the roses. You never take a moment to celebrate. How did you celebrate this championship?
Well, you know, it's always a great feeling for the players. I really wanted it for this team, probably as much as any team I've ever coached, because of their resiliency that they showed as a group throughout the season, the leadership that we had, the togetherness we had. This was truly a team. And for that reason, I was really, really happy and excited for them. You're always thinking about what's up next, so when you ask me how I celebrated for, you know, maybe one day, one night, and then you have all the issues that come with starting all over and trying to build your team for the next year, whether it's hiring staff, helping players, you know, make decisions about where they're going to go and what they're going to do. So you really can't stop and smell the roses much, or somebody's going to pass you up in a hurry.
That's just the way it is, isn't it? And, you know, I've asked this question over the course of the years to Bob Knight, to Mike Krzyzewski, to Bill Belichick in different circumstances. What drives you at this stage of your life, with everything you have accomplished, to continue to put everything into it that you have to stay at the level that you are?
Well, I've answered that question. First of all, I hate to lose. Secondly, I don't care. Your DNA helps you to have pride in your performance, so you want to be the best and do the best for the people in the organization. And, you know, when you're a leader of that organization, now that's a huge responsibility to get everyone else in the organization to have the right mindset to be able to continue on. I say it all the time, you know, success is not a continuum. It's momentary. And if you don't continue to do the things probably even better than you did them before, someone else is, you know, going to try to do it better than you did it, and you're always going to get the other team's best game when you're in this position, when you win a championship. So, and I think everybody's got to have the right mindset, you know, to face those challenges.
Greeny and the great Nick Saban is with me on ESPN Radio. So your old quarterback, Greg McElroy, told a great story when we were talking about the way the game has changed. And he said that when he was at Alabama playing for you, that your definition of a good practice was when the defense dominated, and your definition of a bad practice, you would get all mad if the offense had a good day. That was his perspective. I can't vouch for it one way or the other. Clearly, the game has changed so much. How has your view of winning football adapted with the way the game has changed?
Well, I think, you know, to some degree, you know, Greg's an offensive player, and, you know, they're all outcome-oriented guys. And I'm a process-oriented guy, so you can tell him I said that. But anyway, You know, in the beginning, I think football was played to play great defense, and you sort of tried to keep yourself from getting beat before you could win. And I think theoretically that's how the game was played. But in the last probably eight, ten years, it's changed dramatically. Points are going up. The rules in college football favor the offense relative to RPOs, blocking downfield, on passes caught behind the line of scrimmage. All these things have really favored point production. So we have been, you know, like, scored more points than anybody in the last couple, 3 years, and we probably haven't played as well on defense. So I think that you have to be able to score points nowadays to be able to have success. You obviously want to play good defense as well, but I don't think anybody's winning these games in the playoffs in college football or big games in college football that can't score points. So we've sort of, you know, changed philosophically a little bit. It's not really defense first. It's really, you know, we gotta win however we can win, and the way we've been able to win the last couple of years is outscore people.
And that really, to me, and I said this after the championship game, that's the sign of the really great leader, because a lot of people will bemoan, and I know for a while there you were concerned about it, and I don't really love it either, to be honest with you, but many will sit and bemoan, well, this isn't the way we always used to do it, and this isn't as good. But at the end of the day, you had to change your philosophy or you're going to be left behind, right?
No question. There's no question about it. We had to change the way we played offense. You know, we were more of a pro style, run the ball, play action pass, you know, be good on third down, try to have a good passing game for third down. Now it's wide open, you know, every play. But, you know, I have another thought for Greg McElroy, just so we can get this in.
Yeah.
You know, he also should tell you that we always sort of do what our players can do. So, you know, when we have a quarterback that can throw it and do all that stuff, then we're a little more wide open. And so this just a thought.
He did. I will make sure he hears that. He's probably listening right now. But he did say it to me. He used to say, Greeny, anytime the offense had a good day in practice, Nick was mad. He was furious. That was a terrible day. And when the defense dominated, he was always happy with our effort. That was his, for one way or another, that was his perspective on it.
Well, I can't, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I coach the defense more. So, you know, I guess my reaction to them not doing things correctly is always a little greater than it is, you know, than when the offense does it that way. But when the offense is not doing well, the offensive coordinator is not very happy either. But I've kind of changed, you know, that through the years. I love it when we make big plays on offense. I love it when we make them in practice. But, you know, we also got a coach that we don't give them up to. So I probably create a little more balance in how I look at things because the game has changed.
And Nick, I have to let you go, but one last thing. Please tell me that you do have some spectacular golf trip planned for this, or whatever time you do get to smell the roses, that there is some spectacular golf in your relatively immediate future.
I think right before we start off-season program, I'm going to give everybody a few days off, and I'm going to go to Florida and play some golf. You caught me on that one.
Okay, fair enough. That was my favorite story of you of all time, was the day you had your hip replaced. You did it in the afternoon because you needed to get one more round of golf in the morning. Nick, congratulations.
Well, and I can tell you this much. I can tell you those guys in Florida, they're down there waiting on you, you know, because when you come down there with white legs, they want you to get your money out, so they're all lined up down there. I can tell you that much.
Okay. Well, listen, that is a date if we can make it work. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this time, as always. Congratulations again. Be well, and we'll check in down the road. Thank you, Nick.
Okay. Thank you, Greeny.
Yep. That's the ball coach, Nick Saban. He's going to play some golf here in South Florida. Imagine seeing him in South Beach, and he's like, oh, yeah, I just got off the golf course. Yeah, you don't play football. I don't care about you. Or you can't make me money. I don't care about you. Or maybe he's not like that. Maybe he's really cool. Maybe on the golf course he'll let you play through or play with you. Or maybe he'll buy you a beer down in South Beach. Maybe. Maybe. No maybe about it. It's always fun with Hawk and Crowder. Gambling bliss from those guys next. Here on 560 The Joe, Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. I am Dan Day. Don't delay. Follow me on social media at Dan Day Radio, where you can also download the podcast for this show for absolutely free, wherever you get your podcast, the radio.com app, or you can go to our website, WQAM.com. Of course, you can always hear Hawk and Crowder weekdays from 2 to 6. Oh, man, it's good to have a good break. You had some serious Nick Saban, some Andre Dawson earlier in the show. Now, let's have some fun with Hawk and Crowder. They're talking gambling bliss and Devontae Smith playing big.
Oh, a beat number to start the, what's today, Wednesday? Wednesday show? Sing along with this, Crowder. Sing along.
My whole life. You do the words in the background. Happy.
Go on. First of all, you know I don't know words to songs that I actually like, let alone.
Oh, how dare you say you don't like Pharrell and Happy?
Nah, it's a good song, but.
Oh, your son's too old. I've heard this a million times on that damn Minions.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness. This
I've heard it on the radio, but, yeah. So, we had an incredible gambling victory last night. And, rarely, as a gambler, do you get a victory quite like we had last night. We bet the Panthers-Blue Jackets over last night, over 5.5 goals. There were 3 goals scored in the first period. I watched the entire Panthers game last night. 3 goals scored in the first period. You get down to the end, and so it's pacing really well, because now you just need 3 more goals over the next 2 periods. Anywho, gets down to the end of the game, and it is 3-2 Columbus. And there is, you know, 1.5 minutes left when the Panthers finally pull the goalie. And they really just can't get anything doing. They have a decent chance with about 10 or 11 seconds. And then there's a face-off. And honestly, with 1 second on the clock, the Panthers tie the game at 3. So not only as Panthers fans are we happy, because you're getting a point regardless, and then you're going to have a chance in overtime or then a shootout, which is where they want it. But we hit the over with 1 second left in regulation. It was, talk about happy. We were happy. It was just happy.
Gambling makes you feel alive. Those are one of those moments.
It really was. It really is. Yes. Gambling can make you feel alive at times. And that was one of those moments where I yelped. It just came out of me. It was like you with the hibachi when they throw the shrimp. I couldn't even help myself. Bah! Like, didn't matter. I was like a Muppet.
And another funny thing about last night, I mean, you know, my wife, I told you, every time I watch a random game, because she knows who I, Dolphins
and
the
Buccaneers. She knows you bet, yeah.
So now she knows I gamble when I'm watching these random, you know, UFC fights or college basketball in the middle of the day. So she'll just ask me, oh, yeah, who you betting on, whatever. So then last night, I had to explain to her. She was like, you're watching hockey? I said, yeah, yeah, we bet on it. Who, you bet on the Panthers? No, we bet on the over. She was like, the over? I was like, yeah, both teams combined have to score 6 points. She said, you're betting on both teams? She said, you have a problem. I said, no, this is normal.
That's better. That's better. You're doubling your chances. You're not just betting on one team. We broke the system.
I think next time Asia sees you, she's going to have a long sit down with you about what you've done to me.
And somebody texts in, Solana, you were right. It was a barn burner. It really was a barn burner. You nailed it, Solana.
Barn burner.
It was a barn burner. So, hey. And then it goes to overtime. And I have to tell you, Sergei Bobrovsky in overtime, the Blue Jackets get a power play. And Sergei Bobrovsky was lights out. In overtime against a power play. It was ridiculous. And then the Panthers go on to win the game in a shootout. And it was Patrick Hornquist that had the goal. And Brendan Tobin, who does mornings on 790 The Ticket with Leroy Horde, made what I believe to be one of the best parody songs in radio history, because it's Patrick Hornquist and Steve Goldstein on Fox Sports Florida gave you just a perfectly enunciated Hornquist, at the end of the game when he won it on the shootout, and Tobin put together Miso Hornquist. Play this if you have it, Solana.
Hornquist! 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 Hornquist!
Oh, God. Made me, I mean, I was cackling watching that. He posted it to Twitter last night. So, fun night of gambling. And so now the Panthers are 3-0, by the way. So, that's fun. That's fun. And then I saw a story today, right before we came on the air. Local 10 on their website, Brian Flores says Dolphins have had conversations with wide receiver Devontae Smith. And I'm just reading the article that's posted at local10.com. Flores said, we've had some conversations. Look, he's obviously a very talented player, very productive player in college, someone who is, I think, going to have a very good NFL career. Flores continued, he's tough, he's smart. We would have loved to have seen him this week, but it's good to kind of meet him. Seen him in practice, I mean, but it's good to meet him, spend time with him, and find out what kind of person he is. The football character, the toughness, the competitiveness. He's a very good player. I think Dolphins fans are getting excited about this guy. I certainly have been after the national championship game. So,
oh, you should. And these stories about his size. He's the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right. Right,
one of the handful of receivers in the history of time to win the Heisman. Let's take it easy on the size, man.
Always going big with Hawk and Crowder. That's my dudes right there. Solana jumps in. Oh, man, have so much fun. So many good things. So won't you join them? Won't you join us all day long? Because we got all your sports coverage here on 560. And, of course, at 6 o'clock, we run it back. That's the new famous saying that everyone likes to use now. Run it back. With 560 The Joe, Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and banner up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.